You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to the Locked On Pacers podcast. My name is Adam Friedman, as always, I'm the host of this wonderful podcast. And joining me for our weekly show, a man who writes for Forbes.com and covers the Pacers for a bunch of different organizations, and a man who plans to already call for a recount in the draft on Wednesday, Mr. Tony. Tony, how are you doing?
I do plan to call a recount. The Pacers pick 54th, and that is the exact number. And I am doing great, and I'm excited because we made it through with 2 days to spare all of our player season recaps, and we can finally put last season behind us, Adam, and look ahead to all the chaos that is coming our way.
And that's what we're going to do on today's podcast. We're going to walk you guys through basically what's probably going to be a crazy 7 to 10 day run from basically here on out in the NBA. From the
basically here to Thanksgiving is going to be nuts.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about the first thing that will happen is they're going to lift the moratorium on trades tomorrow afternoon at noon on the dot. Draft Wednesday, free agency, you can talk to free agents starting Friday, and then you can start signing Sunday, and that will probably bleed into Thanksgiving. So yeah, it's going to be a crazy 7 to 10 days, and then training camp starts the week after that. So the NBA season is really kicking off and moving really fast.
Yeah, and per Shams Charania of The Athletic, too, there's going to be preseason games ranging from, I think he said, December 11th through 19th. And every team has to host one game. And I don't really get the point of a preseason in a pandemic. I'm assuming every team is hosting a game so they can get their COVID procedures down pat, you know, for actual game days that matter. So the Pacers are probably, in a month from you listening to this and me talking, going to be playing a basketball game. So this stuff is flying, and this offseason is going to be crazy, and we're going to break it all down today.
Yeah, so I think the first place to start, and we kind of did the dates and whatnot, but is as the moratorium is lifted on Monday, what that is basically is after when they went in kind of the 30-day suspension during COVID and kind of figured it out, they basically made sure so no team can make any transactions during this kind of frozen window from basically March, I think, 12th or 13th through November, I think it'll be 16th will be the final day. So now starting Monday, teams can start making moves. The question remains, and this is you're starting to see, is you already saw one move already being telegraphed, and that's Dennis Schroeder to the Lakers. Other teams, it's unsure whether there's already other moves in place or whatnot. At least they haven't been leaked out yet. But the question will be, right, because the team's been able to talk for the past 2 or 3 months, if not more. So the question is, will we see like a floodgate of trades starting Monday? And then for the Pacers, you know, we haven't heard a ton of rumors about specific trades. We've heard players may want in or out or whatnot, especially last week and stuff like that. But it's just, it's going to be interesting to see what happens Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, specifically before the draft, even for the Pacers.
Yeah, Schroeder for Danny Green and the 28th pick is the deal Adam is referring to. Danny Green and 28 to the Thunder, although I'm sure that that could get more complicated because Danny Green seems like he'll be rerouted to a contender. Anywho, the reason that, though, that came up the second after Woj tweets the dates, right? And that's intentional. The agent can't look like before the moratorium is lifted that stuff is happening. But now, okay, it's probably fine. They know it's going to be lifted. All this stuff's coming out. And Zach Lowe on Low Post many times has brought up that teams have itchy trade fingers, he says. And you know, teams, even if they're not allowed to legally trade, can talk and survey offers and things like that. And who knows where the Pacers are at? I'm sure they're active because of all the stuff that's happened this offseason. But given that the trade has already been announced and the things that Lowe has said, I'd imagine even if the Pacers aren't necessarily involved, there'll be a lot of stuff that affects them in terms of the East potentially improving or things like that. So, yeah, the trade restriction lifts. If you're listening to this, it's probably Monday around noonish. Or, you know, that day. So the chaotic day is just beginning, and that's when all this stuff can officially go crazy. And that is not just limited to trades, moratoriums, any transaction, waivers, stretches, anything. So the chaos will begin very soon.
Yeah, let's make this clear. There's probably no way Danny Green is rerouted the Pacers because his salary is too high to fit.
Yeah, $15 million is a tough one for the Pacers because it's just too high to make just Jeremy Lamb make it happen, and it's too low, and he's not good enough to for any of the good players. Yep. And yeah, it's just, he's a good player despite his struggles with the Lakers in the playoffs. But yeah, that is not going to happen. So I was just telegraphing why that happened.
Yeah. So I guess, where do you want to start on this? Do you want to start with what you think could happen with trades wise? I mean, in terms of like, we could see a pre-draft trade for a draft pick, obviously a draft date trade for obviously a draft pick, or we could see post-draft trades at that point, just to try to move money around, or all that could happen still before the draft. I mean, if you had to put some money on what's going to happen, what do you think happens first for the Pacers, at least? Or
I'm sure they're active between Miles and Vic on stuff. Even if Vic is committing to the team prior to the season, some of the stuff that's gone down with him and the way the team is currently shipping up, perhaps some chemistry issues, I'm sure So they're in talks for the with those two guys. I don't know what for. I don't know if pre-draft or post-draft matters. So pre-draft trades are rarer. They usually involve the pick specifically, and they get agreed to after the draft. And the reason that happens is either a team is impacted by the Stepien rule and cannot trade draft picks from consecutive drafts, or the salary from the picked player is necessary to aggregate in a deal to make it happen. For example, the 28th pick in that Thunder Lakers trade actually makes it so that the Lakers clear a little bit of salary in that deal. They actually save a little money against the MLE. So pre-draft trades are usually agreed to but don't really happen until after all the time. But because it's prior to the draft and picks can still be involved before it happens, right, and not just set on a player that's already been picked, the talks typically happen earlier. That's the reason I think the pre-draft process is so important and why teams wanted the moratorium lifted right before it. So even if necessarily the Pacers aren't going to make a deal until after, the fact that they're able to even just assess the value better as other guys are moved, right? How does Schroeder's value affect Oladipo's, for example? Probably not very much, but Schroeder was better than him last year. So now you have to think of all that kind of stuff. And as we approach the draft, we can actually see all this stuff start to take shape and how it all could impact, or the Pacers can be a part of it.
I think that's unfair to say because most players are better than Vic last year. I mean,
No, I'm not trying to necessarily compare their value, but he is an expiring contract guard who's good. It's just a fact that.
But I guess you could say Vic's in the same situation, right? Expiring contract guard.
Yeah, so exactly.
I think a late first, if you're trying to get a pick, is a reasonable thing to think the Pacers could somehow get. I mean,
I agree. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, I thought you were saying he wouldn't even get that, I guess.
No. Vic's value is definitely higher than Schroeder's, just given his history. But it's not an impossibly bad analog. It's not good either, but it's fine.
Yeah, I mean, I think the number one kind of trade spot for Vic has been probably Dallas, right? If we were to kind of give it some odds.
That's the betting favorite, yeah.
Right, Dallas has the 18th pick in this draft. That might be too high, but they really have to make work with salaries. That's the issue with Dallas, is they have to kind of throw in a bunch of role players to make work, which could be what the Pacers want to do, right? I mean, the Pacers could think depth is their benefit, although I think they're already kind of deep enough to go and not need to get three different players. But in the right spots, it might work if you're looking, get another two and a four and can move Turner as well for a pick or something like that. Some grand, move here.
And cost-controlled assets, given two things. One, that the Pacers are really close to the cap already and lower cost than Oladipo or Turner. Cost-controlled assets could help them get space to keep Justin Holiday. And two, the fact that the cap is not rising, cost-controlled assets are really valuable too. So, like, even if the players are worse, you are giving yourself some flexibility and room, and given the way Vic is currently hamstringing them by that, that was the important part of Sham's story. Beyond him saying, right, beyond Vic saying he's committed to the team for this season, whatever that means, he kind of had to say that after that report. The big part of that story is he's not entertaining an extension offer before the season, right? So he's going into the season no matter what on an expiring contract. His story will be evolving and dynamic, assuming he's still on the roster. So having cost-controlled assets instead of that, puts that to bed, keeps some stability. So
The names being floated, right, are like Seth Curry and Maxi Kleber, the other one, or is it DeLon Wright?
My fake trade, I made a fake trade with the Mavs, Adam. I actually made a fake trade. I know you did. Sick. You heard it? You listened to it?
No, you texted it to me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Seth Curry and DeLon Wright and the 18th pick, and maybe something a little better.
I think that's pretty good. Yeah. I wanted to my point back a little bit on the depth thing. I mean, the Raptors were a team towards having 11 or 12 playable players, maybe, and considering the coach they have now, maybe that's what the Pacers are looking at. They just want to have
And DeLon Wright played for Bjorkman before, yeah.
Yeah, and I think we both agree Seth Curry is a valuable player just because he can stretch the floor with a three-point shot and play point guard a little bit, play a little two guard. He can just do a lot.
I don't want to get too into specifics, but yeah, that kind of stuff would happen pre-draft, right, where the Mavs would pick for the Pacers all of a sudden knowing they have Depot coming in the door. But, post-draft, if they already know say that they don't agree to anything and the Mavs are locked into whoever, I'll just pick Aaron Naismith. Now you're only – if the Pacers don't like Naismith, suddenly that is a lot less value to them. So that's why pre-draft trades are
– Yeah, I would say, too, with the draft, right, it really depends if a player falls, too, right? Like, if there's somebody they really like, and let's say he's supposed to go in the top 5 or 10, whatever, and all of a sudden he's sitting there at 15 or 16, they might make a move kind of similar to the way the what Jasmine moved for Donovan Mitchell a few years ago, right? Just there's a player you want. You probably can't get him if he goes too high, but if he starts to fall for whatever reason, maybe you can make a last-second push to go – to go grab him. I don't think LaMelo Ball is the one that's probably going to fall. I mean, maybe not, but there's no way. You don't think he's going to fall? I thought that's been the
biggest. I think he's going
number one. Oh, he's going number one now.
Yep. I've always thought he's going number one.
Okay. I mean, maybe he is. Who knows? I mean, but I don't think he's the kind of player that, like, I don't know, is that is the guy who falls, it's like, he's still a pretty high risk player just because of his youth. It's not like, like when Kawhi fell, for example, it was sort of like he fell because of a little bit of age and some injury concerns, but like he was a really good player, probably worth the risk or whatnot.
I mean, say they're pawning off TJ Leaf and giving up picks to do so too, right? Teams would like to know the picks they have before the draft. They could even flip them or pick a guy they like, right? So getting that done before the draft also has value.
Yeah, I mean, I think the most likely move, you just kind of hit it, is I think it's a 54th pick in TJ Leaf to somebody for it.
It's not going to be enough to dump him, but
You don't think so? Well no. I mean, undrafted that one particularly, and then maybe they throw in one of their, you know, three Phoenix/Heat second round.
That's what exactly. I think it's going to take some of the stuff they got in the big TJ Warren shabacle.
Yeah,
2 to 3 seconds. Maybe they trade 54 as well and just punt on this draft completely if they don't like it. You know, that's fine. But the 54th pick, who cares? But yeah, using those seconds smoothly seems like the most likely pre-draft trade to me now that we know the tax line.
Yeah, I mean, that'll be bad for us because then we'll have nothing to talk about on Well, I guess if they do that move, that kind of telegraphs are going to sign Justin Holiday.
I was going to say, no, that's a lot to talk about still.
Yeah,
gives them even if it's not Justin Holiday, that gives them the full MLE for something or something.
Yeah. Okay. So we're starting to get into kind of free agency stuff and kind of draft trades. So let's do this. Let's take one quick break and then we'll talk a little bit about kind of some more of this, what draft day means, and then some of the bigger guarantee dates for like some of the Pacers players. But first, today's Locked On Pacers podcast is brought to you by our wonderful friends over at BuiltBar.com. We've been talking about Built Bar for pretty much the entire year. They have been a great sponsor of this podcast for a while. They have 18 amazing protein bars that come in awesome flavors like caramel brownie, cherry barcia. I always mess up that name, and the salted caramel. My favorite one by far is the peanut butter brownie one. These bars are great for somebody trying to be healthy conscious, lose or maintain weight while also trying to indulge in delicious treats. The bars are low calorie, low sugar, high in protein, high in fiber, and great for the keto diet. My favorite one, like I said, is the peanut butter one. Has 19 grams of protein and only 180 calories. And right now, if you go to BuiltBar.com, it's more Locked On, you'll get 20% off your next order. That's the promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off your next order at BuiltBar.com. Okay, so we are both in agreement that on draft day, we expect the most likely move. Let's put it, the most likely move is the 54th pick and TJ Leaf and some other stuff to get him off the books, basically. And what that does is telegraph two major things.
Well, I don't know if that's more likely than them just making the pick, but that's the most likely trade.
Yeah, most likely like outside the conventional move. Let's put it that way.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
Because I don't think they just trade the pick for nothing, right? I don't think they just punt the pick away for like another second rounder. Maybe they do, but like it seems like if you're going to punt on it, you might as well try to use it to create some space because
That
either means they're going to re-sign Justin Holiday, which is, I think, what they would like to do, or they're going to use the full mid-level against somebody else, right? Whether that's who are the players? Joe Harris, one of the guys that get that full mid-level, maybe like those kind of guys.
Yeah. So the thing about the draft that's weird this year, especially with picks in the late 50s, is all these teams lost a bunch of money last year, right? It's been kind of reported that teams are going to be like more okay selling their picks. So I do.
Yeah, but
wonder,
who's going to be buying them is the question.
Teams that aren't as cash poor or owners that are willing to spend more.
Okay, so but like the list of the team that is like three of them, right? Both LA's and the Warriors, right? Probably.
Both LA's, the Warriors, the Celtics. Any team that's paid tax.
Celtics gonna have a very large.
The Heat.
Heat maybe.
That's a fair one. Basically, any team with a lot of money. I mean, why not?
Well,
Raptors. They love their second rounders.
Yeah, but I'm not sure they're gonna be.
The Cavs owner Dan Gilbert has a ton of money. Why not?
I mean, okay, Tony, almost every NBA has a ton of money. This is
exactly. That's what I mean. If they're willing.
No, but if teams are talking about just cash poor, you know what I mean? I'm not sure, like, based on the books of the team, they're going to be itching to spend $3.5 million or going.
Right. Oh, I know. I mean, like, that's what I mean by owners who are more willing to spend and don't care about the hurt as much.
Yeah, but I guess
irrelevant to market size to me.
How valuable is that $3.5 million for a pick, right? Like, how many second round picks in the last even 5 years have turned out to be more than us? You know, solid bench player.
They get sold every year, though. Either way.
Yeah, but like usually just one gets sold, and it's usually a team that's
It's way more than that every year. The Pacers sold the pick last year to the Jazz.
But not for that much money. I guess right, it was a really low amount of money, right? Wasn't it?
It's like well over $1 million.
Was it really $12 million?
Yeah, they're all worth over $1 million.
Yeah, but do you think they're still worth that much? I guess that's what I mean. It's like, there's that balance of I'm not sure they're worth that much anymore. And then if they're not worth that much, are they worth? You just better off taking the player.
I think that they're always more likely off paying a player, but you know, it's always an option, I think, for teams that, especially now in the league, that they could take the money just because they need it. And the Pacers don't really have a ton of roster spots for a second round guy. I mean, they could always take him, but you know, they don't need to.
I guess I just feel like with the whole pandemic and the whole financial situation, it's like, well, team maybe hasn't just hand out money they don't need to hand out, I guess. If that makes sense. No matter the team. Because I mean, even like the Warriors gonna have a large cap or a luxury tax bill, not as large as it's gonna be, but still a large one.
I'm not saying that the money's gonna be flying around, but I think teams will be liking to sell picks if they can.
Yeah,
I think if I would rank
the markets there, I guess. I'm not sure.
I think if I could rank the most likely options, I'd say one, they just pick someone. They could even throw them on a 2A. Two, they sell at 3. They package it with Leaf.
Yeah. Well, how much could you even get with this deep of a pick, right? Because most of the guys you can
– about a million. I bet every pick in the late 50s goes for about a million. Yeah, it's only a sixth of your cash. It's nothing.
Yeah, but I guess the thing is like – what are the odds the player you want at 54 is not – is just you can get as an undrafted free agent pretty much still. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so some teams like to have them specifically, though, just in case. That's why they do it.
Yeah, I guess – I don't know. I don't think – I think I'd be surprised to see as many teams selling their picks, or at least teams buying picks just because – I mean, they have to be one of the teams that thinks they're going to win next year, basically.
You're going against the reporting, Adam, so I implore you to think about the other side.
Yeah, but I just – I think it's a cash poor league right now. Everybody's out of money, is what they would say, or they would claim to be at least.
I do not agree. I think every owner is rich.
Well, I think they're all rich, but I think they're all
lying to you if they're saying they're cash poor.
No, but I think they're all thinking like, oh, how much money am I going to lose next year or whatever? And they're sort of all kind of like, oh, besides like the three that like are just beyond, you know, Ballmer's got who knows how many billions of dollars. But I think the Warriors owners are still a little bit because of how much money they spent on that stadium and not having any fans. It's a big freaking deal.
Can I throw a sneaky draft night trade at you?
Yeah, go ahead.
A team taking a stab at trading a second rounder for TJ McConnell.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me.
Like a high second, because he's about worth that. The Pacers could be opening up their logjam, clearing some money. He could help a lot of teams that are contenders. They need a backup point guard. I don't know. It's pretty good.
I guess the thing I go back to is – I
don't think they'll do that, but that's also before his guarantee date, which we'll talk about later in the segment. So I think that's reasonable.
Yeah, I mean, it's reasonable because they're just trying to clear the space, right? The cap space.
Oh, no, I think it's because other teams might actually want him.
No, I mean for the Pacers end, right? What the value for the Pacers is not
– oh, because yeah, clearing a logjam, getting a better – like a useful pick, yeah, is worth it.
Yeah, because, I mean, like, what are the – I'm just saying the odds – like, if you're thinking about impact next year, the second person have no impact. But if you're thinking about can you clear three – you know, they don't have to get rid of Leaf or don't figure out a move for Leaf, so let's keep a second-round pick. I mean, it's not a bad move if that happens. I mean, do you think the Pacers would make the move for a second-round pick, or do you think a team would offer that? I guess that's what I'm trying to figure out.
I got this floated to me by someone who covers the Clippers. I won't say their name because I don't want to reveal DMs. I've done that too many times in the show recently. They have a trade exception big enough to just take him in, right? The Pacers would not have to take back any money, and they could just, boop, here comes a future second from – it doesn't have to be this year. Just, boop, here's a future second from the Clippers. They get McConnell. There you go.
So the Clippers want another guy that can't play in the playoffs?
I mean, he'd be a lot better than Reggie Jackson for them. That's for damn
sure. Yeah, I mean, sure. I mean, I guess the question with the Pacers is like, you come back to the TJ Leaf thing, right? Is do they want to move off him? Like, how bad do they want Justin Holiday or somebody in that spot? And then,
right.
What are the alternatives? Right? Is it?
That's what I think. If they get off of anyone, even McDermott, I guess. Although I really doubt it, but anyone making McDermott money or less. Who's on a low end deal like McConnell, McDermott, Leaf? Actually, just one of those three. They get off of one of those three right before free agency. I'll either think they're for sure getting Justin or someone else. You know what I mean? Like you said earlier, that kind of telegraphs that move for us. But if they don't do that, I think we're going to either see they lose McConnell or they just use the BAE and keep a cheaper team next year. So yeah. I think we'll know that kind of stuff pretty quick.
I guess my thing is, I don't know about you, but like, how highly do you value second round picks? Because I think they're like. Not
54,
shit.
Barely at all. Right?
Well, I just mean, I guess maybe in the high 30s you could buy me on that one. But like, second round picks are so like beyond crapshoots, right? Like, I think a late 20 pick is rolling the dice. You know, one out of every, let's say three are good. I think the second round you're barely getting a 5% odds of a guy even being a rotation player.
In the first round, you're getting a guy that you should expect to be in your rotation at some point over their rookie deal, right?
Aaron's but the last
there, Goga's shown he can get there.
Yeah, but you just the last 12 to 15 picks are all crapshoots still. I mean, I think
in the second round, you mean?
No, I mean in the first round even.
Oh, I think very disagree with that.
Top 15, like if your top 15 pick can't crack a rotation, then like
if you're getting a crapshoot luck. Then your process for scouting is awful.
Yeah, but I'm saying, I mean, that could be fair. I'm not saying, but like, I'm not sure. I'm not sure how many late 20s guys have been that good. I mean, look at the Patriots' last three first round picks, right? One's a rotation player, one definitely isn't, and one is could be. We just don't
know. Gogo will be, Aaron Holiday is, Leafs not, Leafs bad.
Yeah, so it's about, okay, maybe it's two out of three, two out of four.
But what I was going to say is the second round, any contribution is good. They got that from Sumner. Yeah. I guess they got that from Alize. He was kind of in the rotation this season. He's fine. Like, that's exactly what you want from your 50s. That's the kind of level you want, is the Alize level to me. Anything beyond that is gravy. So we'll see if they can get that. But it's, you know what I mean? It's not like the super valuable thing. It's just like, if there was like a bunch of injuries, can you play 10 minutes in the game and not suck? That kind of guy.
Yeah. The question I would have, if you like, getting rid of a Kyle for second round pick makes sense because of not even just the pick doesn't even mean anything. It's just everything else that it means for, right?
Right. I
mean, clearing the logjam, the space, and everything like that. And then eventually, if you can get rid of McConnell and then try to get rid of Leaf too, don't you end up with a tiny bit of cap space then at that point, or do you end up
– No, you're not even
– No, right? Still. You're still right at butting at the 108 number, I think, right there, right? So there's really no way to, like, even clear up, like, 2 or 3 million in space.
Getting space, they'd have to get rid of, like, Oladipo and Turner and one of Brogdon.
Well, they get rid of Leaf and get rid of McConnell and save himself money at the end of the day, right?
Yeah, there's still, like, $15 million over after doing that.
No, but I mean, in terms of like the end of the year books, they save money.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right. Then that's what last show, right? You kind of thought they might make that kind of move just to save some money. That's why I don't think they're going to buy a pick. I mean, I think that's really rare for them to do.
As you can see, these are all very granular moves.
Yes.
Because when you only have the 54th pick, that's the kind of stuff you're dealt with. And maybe if they trade, you know, Vic or Miles or whatever for a higher pick, then, yeah, we'll scramble and do, like, a mock draft and scout some of the higher guys the day before. But
they kind of won't make that move, though, until the day of the draft.
Exactly.
At the fifth, like, we'll be sitting there watching the draft, and you and I will be, like, half-watching it, you know, after the 13th pick.
Peek up.
Well, after about the lottery, I should kind of, like
– I don't even watch anymore. I mean, they all just get pumped on the
pill. Oh, that's true. Well, I like to have it on just to, like – I just have it on, you know what I mean?
And yeah.
I'm, like, kind of doing something else. What if the Patriots have a pick? Because I'm thinking of, oh, wait, where does that guy go? Oh, he's not going to fall. Great. Right. Hey, this year, by email, then we'll look up him and you'll be like, oh, they trade somebody first. Like, how high of a pick could they get, you think, with trading Vic or Turner?
Between like 12 and 18.
Right.
Probably not even that high.
So like
14 to 18.
Right. Could, like, what team, though, is in that range? I guess Dallas. Dallas at 18 makes the most sense.
The Pelicans?
Like, yeah, 13. That feels really high, though, for Turner, 13.
It does.
It is a weaker draft, so that's.
I think Turner has more value than Oladipo, so I don't know.
No, I'm kind of with you. Just feel like a high pick for.
But we can't really get into that too much, I think, because it's impossible to guess. And it sounds like Vic's not even available. So.
Yeah, right. And there's no way they can trade Vic for the 8th pick.
It sounds
right?
like an attempt to either salvage his value or his perception was made. Who knows if that.
Right. There's no way they can trade Vic for the 8th pick, right?
No, hell no.
Could you imagine? Maybe if it was the old mix.
Yeah.
But this new front office seems to be, like, more competent.
So speaking of McConnell, this is the last thing before free agency. After the draft, before free agency, that's what the segment was about, even though we just got nerdy.
Way off topic.
We just got nerdy for 10 minutes. Officially, the league season rolls over on the 21st per that new modified CBA the league came up with. That's a dorky sentence that doesn't mean anything to any of you. What it does mean is TJ McConnell, if he's on the roster on 5 p.m. Eastern on November 19th, he will officially, his $3.5 million will guarantee for next year and will not be cut down to $1 million by being waived. If he is cut before 5 p.m. on that date, then his money will go down to $1 million. Again, as J. Michael has reported and we have explained many times in the show, it makes almost no sense to waive him. So I would expect him to be there, but just keep that date in mind. It's their only guaranteed date this offseason.
Yeah. Okay. I have actually one trade idea for you that's non-draft related that I want to talk to you after we take this quick break. Okay. So let's say TJ McConnell's date goes past and guarantees him money. Is there any way they could piece together his 3.5, Leafs 4, and, you know, a bunch of seconds to get something?
No.
Okay. No. I didn't think there was. Is there any possible trade where they trade on the margin, I guess is what I mean, for a player?
Yeah. So I think that the margin trade is kind of what I talked about last week with the cap stuff with you, is like Leaf for a guy who makes the minimum and they also throw in a second. So like they only save a little bit of money.
So
but the other team gets a second and like a flyer. I'm going to call Leaf a flyer for all intents and purposes. We know he's not, but that's his what his perception will be in a trade. So
I guess what I mean by margins, I mean somebody could be in the rotation. I guess like is there any way to
those
two with a bunch of, like, you have to put a first round pick to get that to make that work.
Yeah,
that's not worth it.
Just
at that
gonna
point.
Say for McConnell and Leaf, no.
Right, I'm trying to think. Is there any? Because like even then you're just trading contracts, right? You're not like taking money off from somebody else.
What's the phrase? Moving deck chairs on the Titanic or whatever.
Yeah. So.
Oh, yeah. Adam, we can live react to Anthony Davis declining his player options, even though it doesn't matter.
What is his? What is his Supermax? 200?
A lot. He can't get the Supermax. He got traded, but
no, whatever his.
He'll get 5 for $180 or whatever. Yeah.
What 190? Right? Because he's at 30% yet, or no?
Live reaction to a player that will not be ever on the
page. Well, if I'm him too, I got it. Yeah.
So free agency is after McConnell's thing. That will honestly, I still don't think with all these dates that we have an official like free agency starts this day kind of day. It's about the 21st. But I mean, it doesn't matter, right?
It starts Sunday. They already announced it. It starts Sunday, I thought.
Oh. Well, the team's already negotiating. It doesn't matter. After the draft, all this stuff
will go. Maybe announcements come Sunday.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. For us, it's awesome timing. We're gonna be very busy that day. So that day's going to be crazy. Free agency will start. So by then, I think we explained this well in the draft segment earlier, we will kind of know if the Pacers have made a cost-saving move. And again, I explained this on another podcast I did earlier today. That they only have to be under the tax by the end of the season, right? So they could technically be over it when the season starts and still not be a tax team. But you can only waive and stretch guys before the season starts. So I'd imagine we will see the telegraphed move to cost save before free agency. And if we don't, I think we can kind of know, okay, they're not going to be signing a Justin Holiday. They're either not going to be signing a Justin Holiday and we can expect a minimum guys. And we talked about minimum guys on all of our position previews, or they've already made the move and we'll know, okay, they have this much space. So now they can get this guy or whatever.
So what is the amount of space they actually have?
5.7 million. So below actually the tax space. They don't have any cap space. That's below the tax space.
Yeah. That's the mid-level they can offer. That's their mid-level space or whatever you want.
No, that is just the distance between them and – oh, yes.
Yeah, that is their mid-level space, I guess. Yes, I know it's not,
that is their mid-level.
Not their full – yeah. So, actually, what did Holiday make this year? 4.95?
Yeah, his non-bird rights are just under that amount.
Oh, they are? Okay. I would say I'll take it off a little bit. Okay.
But then you're still only at 13 guys, and you need 15 to have a full roster. So.
Well, can't you fill it out with just like – but I guess you don't want to be in the tax,
for 2-week stretches, so you'd be over. They'd still go over.
Yeah, you go over the tax, even if you had to pay, you know, the minimum.
Yeah, because tax is based – again, we're getting so dorky on the show, but tax is based off the payments you make to players, not based on their cap.
Man, I keep saying that Leaf deal, we were like, pick it up. No,
I know. It made no sense not to, but it's killing them now. Yeah. It really is.
Who would have guessed a pandemic would happen?
I know. Next time we talk about no-brainer cap decisions, we'd be like, well, wait a minute. What if a tornado knocks out Bankers Life Fieldhouse and have the player or something like
that? No, I think we should talk about what if a combination of, let's see, one of the most prominent GMs in the NBA goes and badmouths one of the NBA's biggest partners in a reasonable way, but still ruins, let's say, $300 million worth of value there. And then the little pandemic hits, costing the league another $3 or $4 billion on top of that.
Yeah, exactly.
Then they'll be screwed.
Exactly. So the free agency, there's not really a preview we can do without telegraphing their moves, especially because if they trade one of Vic or Miles, it's like scrambling, like who the hell are you going to get at two if they trade Vic? Or, okay, what's their plan to fill Miles' stuff? And maybe that player's they get in the trade, but you know that kind of stuff will evolve by the time we get there. But the reason this chronological order matters is we'll kind of know when we get to free agency, right? Okay, this is what they're kind of looking to do right now.
Yeah, I mean, if they somehow just like dump Turner and Oladipo, which I don't think they can possibly do for literally no money back, then they can make a move. But that's about the only way. Because even if they
that's $39 million pawned off, they would still, I mean, only have like $10 million in space. It's not
right. Because even if they move only one of them, they don't create enough space because they're two. If it is, it's minimum.
They'd have to move a third player for it to be worth it, and they're not going to do that. Yeah. I am not assuming they are making anything like that, though.
Yeah, I guess what we could see. I don't think there was one RFA guy they might be interested in. They could then make a move that way, because it. Right? Was there one player we talked about that maybe?
The RFA I liked was Darius Saric.
Oh, it wasn't it Bogdan though? That was the one we were talking about.
We did like Bogdan too.
Right? Like there is some maybe outside possibility, but you also rather have Buddy Hield than Bogdan. So.
Exactly.
Not. But like that's, you could see a move like that. Now you have to wait around.
Oh, this is another thing. I'm sorry. This relates to McConnell. All the player options and team options will be decided by then. Notably Gordon Hayward based off of a bunch of other reporting, but you know, that could lead to knowing more stuff too, right? Could Gordon Hayward be in some big trade to Indiana? Could X other player who's a free agent and not a free agent, right? We'll know a lot more information to be more granular by Sunday to be able to talk about this stuff. Yeah, but it still matters now.
Yeah, I guess the key thing to know too is like if Hayward opts out, something's up with him.
I don't think so. He could be looking to even just turn around and sign 4 for $90 with Boston. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay. I was thinking that he would do that and then get traded.
Yeah, that's possible. But I'm saying opting out alone is not an indication that a trade is happening.
Oh, you don't? Okay. See, I don't know. I mean, why would Boston?
Although $34 million is a shit ton of money.
Yeah, so. That's all. I mean, the thing
but
is,
escrow ended up only being big for 1 year, so he actually could.
Make,
you know,
yeah, it's really more like what 25 then.
Yeah, exactly. So he does actually have some financial incentive to do that. But
well, I mean, that's the thing we're going to
see. What a complicated situation.
Well, the thing we're going to see a bunch of is you know, for a while some of these like mid tier guys get these like declining contracts, right, where it's like the big number up front then declines. Where nobody's signing that anymore because of the escrow money. They want to get low start next year and then escalate their 8.5% or 7.5% increase over the next 4 years.
Adam, I just looked at the date and thought we were podcasting at 11:15 p.m. and I was like, we've been going for 5 hours. but anyway, yeah, I agree with you there. Like the Aaron Gordon deals that decline, the Kevin Love deals that flatten slash decline, not happening this offseason, right, for sure. So if Gordon opts out, maybe he's looking to get a good structure. Who knows? And again, there's a lot of moving parts. If you were to come to the Pacers, you can go back and listen to me talk to John Krause about that. But yeah, that's just one player. There's a million other things we'll know before then. But the free agency preview should not revolve around sign and trades. It should basically be, will they have enough level of money for a mid-level guy or not? And we will know that by then.
Yeah, I guess the other thing to look at, is there any chance like TJ Warren signs an extension? I doubt it. Right?
It's probably not quite his market value for an extension.
He'd get him, what, like 15 a year?
He could add 3 years and, about $50 million.
Right, because they could raise probably it a little bit each year.
Probably a $20 million player as opposed to a $15 million player.
And he could be
and
worth
next
a lot
offseason,
more.
He could assign a much bigger extension. So and that's probably smarter for him.
Yeah. Obviously, Vic's not signing the extension according to Shams, which I think is risky of him.
Betting on himself. Okay, you do you, man. Whatever.
The question I wonder with the whole Vic thing is – the Pacers are still doing offering the most amount of money, and I wonder if part of him is trying to salvage that value. Because, I mean, that or he has to demand a trade to be able to keep that bird rights. Because, like, I know in the grand scheme of things, $190 million, $120 million are still a lot of fucking money. But, like, I mean, there's a difference. And I could see him thinking, like, you know, the grass is always greener, but, like, if I get $190 million from the Pacers, I should just take that kind of money and then figure it out later kind of thing.
Right.
But I don't know.
Yeah, I doubt it, but we'll see.
To me, it feels like they're going to have to move him this week. Because I think that article, I mean, unless – somehow, like, he's on good terms with a teammate. I just feel like one of the things you have to move him because, like, it's too toxic almost.
Yeah, and Twitter drama is always not good.
No, and I do worry about, like, him looking out for his value and not the team's overall value next year, and that could really hurt the team.
That's possible.
Right, because everybody else on the roster is locked into their contracts pretty much. I mean, you have obviously the McDermott's like that.
Literally everyone except for McDermott.
McDermott, but, like, everybody else has got a contract locked in, so nobody's, like, going to be out there trying to, you know, hunt for their money, but like I could see Vic trying just to like, you know, take over possessions when he's not able to, basically.
He did that last year without the money incentive.
Yeah, well last year he was allowed to because like in the bubble they had to basically rely on him to do it. But I'm not sure they have to do that again.
I was thinking at the end of the Celtics game, but yeah, that's fine.
They needed him to do that too as well though. Remember that he did help them almost
so
in that game.
So the reporting from J. Michael on Justin Holiday is basically that he has some preference. Maybe not preference might be the wrong word. He likes the Pacers, and I my read on this is if money's equal between Pacers and other teams, he'll be back.
Who else can offer him money that's a better team, I guess?
Right. They could probably offer him a little less than like a crappy team or whatever, but they have to get the space to do that. That's why all this stuff matters. If they can't get him, they'll have to pivot to other options. And honestly, at that point, we've covered all the mid-level guys, but you know who knows? They'll probably.
I think if they don't sign him, they're not signing anybody.
That's possible. Saving money, especially with minimal cap raises next year.
I think
they can't re-sign Justin Holiday, they will do a one-year mid-level guy. I think they'll do like a Tyreek Evans kind of contract.
Yeah, but how much money can they offer that guy? 5.
1 for 6. Yeah, sure. But next summer there's a lot more money too. So. I think guys could be willing.
Yeah, but
to take
who can?
That.
I guess who is out? I guess we talked about this. There's somebody out there.
We've done every position.
Yeah, you go back and listen to those podcasts in the past, month.
So that's I think on the table as well. And I think guys like next summer's free agency better too. So that's an option as well. But yeah, all this stuff will be telegraphed as the week goes on and we can figure it out.
Yeah, the thing I would worry about if they lose Holiday and don't find a guy at that spot to replace at any like a good enough value, they're looking at a really center heavy team next year. Two starting centers and having to play two centers off the bench at times. I mean, I don't know. It's gonna be they might have to do that anyways, to be honest, but definitely like them playing kind of a four guards around some bonus lineup is less of a chance, basically, unless they're going to play Sumner a bunch of minutes.
Right.
Which they could.
Yeah, they might want to. I just did Sumner's season recap. I feel like Bjorkgren will be like, oh, special player, and try to get him minutes. But we'll see.
I feel like you're way higher on him than he actually is as a player, and I know that's something that's biased, so hey, I'm not going to rag you too much about it.
Shut up.
I mean, Justin Holiday last year like was a 40% three-point shooter. Sumner just isn't yet. I mean, hey, maybe
don't forget, we both said before the season we thought Justin Holiday would play a little bit more than everybody else thought.
Well, yes, but now it's not like proof that he's like a legitimately, like, you know,
very good player,
borderline six man on a good team player. Like, yep. He hadn't showed that before.
Yeah, that's true.
So
he's more important than Sumner. I'm not denying that. But
before we finish up, what if you had to pick one thing that isn't like a McConnell move? Besides McConnell, because that's an easy cop out. What's going to happen this week? Give me one move. It can be anything else besides McConnell.
Can it not be Leaf either?
No, I would say. Do you think that's the move? Okay, that's fine.
I actually think they're gonna if Herb won't pay the tax, obviously, but if Simon's willing to spend, and I kind of think he is because it won't affect his tax bill. It'll actually help his tax bill if they ever need it in the future. I actually think a wave and stretch of Leaf is on the horizon.
Okay, well, I think you should say that pairs with Justin Holiday resigning, obviously.
Yes, it does.
Right, because there's no point. I mean, I guess they just clear space, but like doesn't.
Because they wouldn't have mutual interest. Like Justin Holiday's agent's not an idiot. You know what I mean? He can see the cap situation for the team. So we'll see. But yeah, it could be like we said. It could be like Turner for $14 million or something. But I'm not going to predict that. I think the most likely thing is a TJ Leaf wave and stretch, and then they keep Justin.
So, do you think they should make a semi-major move, trade one of their top five players?
Probably. I mean, we've talked about how why they should trade Turner. You know what I mean? I don't think they. I actually don't think they will, though.
I think I'm
a little under 50%. Well, I was over 50%, but now that I've heard Bjorkgren speak, seen the new Vic stuff, I kind of feel like it's. I know they're going to be active in talks, but I kind of feel like it's less likely. It's about 50% they trade Miles and under for everybody else. That's what I'll say.
Yeah. My thing is I just don't see a good move out there, and I think they're going to be a little gun-shy just to blow it up. Not blow it up, but to tweak it, I guess.
Yeah.
Especially with everything that's going on with it, right. Vic and whatnot.
So this week, I just typed this in the Google Sheet while we were recording, Adam. I think tomorrow we'll do a first-round mock draft. Not that I'll probably do it. Just so we have thoughts on paper of, if the Pacers do trade into the first round or move Turner or Oladipo for the guys we value about the same level, what can you expect? Who's good? Who do we like? Not that it's important who we like, but just to get names into your ears. And then Wednesday, Adam, we might have to talk to each other every day this week. We'll talk about
that. Well, so here's what we should say there on it. If stuff happens, which it could – we will be doing podcasts as reacting to that stuff.
Yes, right away.
If nothing happens, we can't do much. But like worst case this week, we'll have a second round pick taken or traded, which is still something. And then maybe a guy signed to that kind of mid-level spot.
So I would expect a mock draft and then a draft preview and then a free agency preview with draft reactions. And once we know who's been traded, who's been drafted, it'll be a lot easier to do a free agency preview, like we said. And we'll cover all that this week. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah. And like I said, as stuff happens, we will be here to – break it down for you guys. If you want to hear some of our free agency previews and whatnot, you can go back to our podcast on this channel. Probably the last like five Mondays. Well, I guess last two we did player previews, but before that we did every position.
Monday or Tuesday.
Yeah, Monday. You'll be able to find them. It's in the title of the podcast. It's pretty easy. As always, you can follow our podcast at Locked On Pacers on Twitter. You can follow me at FreeMadden5 on Twitter and Tony at TEastMBA. Like Tony said, we'll bring you a podcast tomorrow. Hopefully, maybe previewing the draft. But if something happens, we'll bring something else. That is all for the Locked On Pacers podcast. We will see you guys again tomorrow.